Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
And that was one of the best teams I've ever played on.
The 94 Yankees.
The 94 Yankees.
Because Mattingly was still healthy at that time.
Right, right. And we were just killing people and scoring runs like crazy, and the pitching was off the chart. And then we made the run in 95, and Donnie got to the playoffs. And I think Donnie hit 487 in the playoffs that year. And we're in Seattle after we lost. And he looks over and goes, "Boggsy, I'm retiring." I said, "Cap, you can't retire." I said, this is insane. I said, "We finally got to the playoffs, and you hit 487. And he said, "No," he says, "I'm done." And we start crying. And it was an emotional plane flight back to New York. And then he called and made it official that I'm retiring. And I went, wow. I said, how are we going to replace Don Mattingly?
Yeah, there you have it. That's Wade Boggs. Road to Cooperstown. Jack Morrissey joined us. New podcast and series coming out talking to Hall of Famers that had amazing baseball careers, obviously, and punched their ticket to the Baseball Hall of Fame at Cooperstown. Yeah, 94. August 12th, 1994. That's when the season came to an end. The Yankees had the best record in the American League. Pete, who had the best record in the National League? August 12th.
The Montreal Expos.
Boom. Good job, Hoff. There you have it. Sharp as a tack. The Montreal Expos had the best record in the National League. So, and I think there's a lot of Yankee fans that grew up in that era when Mattingly was, you know, the hitman that had the poster up on their wall that would love to have seen Don Mattingly win a World Series. Unfortunately, he did not. And I'm sure that was an emotional flight back. Good stuff there from Boggsy. Manhattan, we go. It's Ralph. What's going on, Ralph?
Don't you tell me you're dyeing your hair. Are you dyeing your hair?
I turn on the radio. See, this is like a game of telephone. I said I dyed my hair. I'm not. My hair is turning gray from the stressors of life, right? I haven't lost it, right? But I dyed my hair once when I was at SNY. It had to be about, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago now. Maybe a little, I don't know. I forget what it was. I dyed my hair once, walked into the SNY newsroom, and I believe it was, Kirk Jimenez at the time, who was an anchor at SNY. I sat down, saw me, and said, nice dye job. And I said, no, I didn't dye my job. He goes, yes, you did. I go, does it look that bad? He goes, does it look that obvious? He's like, yes. I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that.
So wait a minute now. Hold on now. You denied it. You said no.
Initially I did. But then that initial denial lasted maybe about 20 seconds. But then I felt, you did not necessarily feel comfortable. Because people then are just looking at your hair. It's like, it's like seeing a guy that's in his 70s and all of a sudden he's got jet black hair or brown hair and there's not a gray hair.
Here's the thing, once in a while I have to dye my hair for a part, for a role. Once in a while when I get a little thing going.
Yeah.
So the last time I did that, somebody turned to me and said, you look older with that hair. I see people under the misapprehension, Mark, that if you dye your hair, you're gonna look younger. But that's not the case. Well, George Clooney, I don't want to get on this too much because I want to talk about the Wade Boggs, but George Clooney is the prime example. Handsome guy, but he dyed his hair for a part recently on Broadway. And he looks 10 years older with the dyed hair.
I got you. Unfortunately, I don't look like George Clooney. That's the issue.
Well, we can't all be... we can't all be that lucky,
Right, exactly. I understand. No. What bothers me, just as we're on this subject, bothers me when you see somebody that has... And I can't grow facial hair either. Like I did one point, and I tried a couple years ago, looked terrible. Donna hated it. Did it like when I was like in my 20s, my mom at the time told me that, I looked awful. I looked like somebody that should be, goat herding. So I looked terrible. So she's
mothers will say that.
Yeah. So she was brutally honest, and I appreciate the honesty rather than telling me something that's not true. But what bothers me when people have, jet black hair or darker hair, not a stitch of gray on top, yet their facial hair is like gray. And then they're trying to tell you that one has nothing to do with the other. Well, if your facial hair has hints of gray, how does your hair on top not have any gray whatsoever?
You know who's sporting that look? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, is that
check
true?
Him out recent. Check him out recently. He got a snow white beard, Mark, and he's got hair some funny reddish brown. It's terrible. If I knew him personally, I'd give him advice, but I don't. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about Boggs, who was tremendous. Here's a guy who can wake up in the middle of the night, as they used to say, and get a base hit. The Holy Trinity back in those days, Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs, George Brett. There weren't three better hitters ever to be found in the last 50, 60, 70 years. These guys were fabulous. And I'll leave you with this. You know how average means nothing and how much Boggs was just reliant on his average? You know, everything was average, average, average. I say that average means a great deal. In a game where you fail 3 out of 10 times, if you could hit 350, 360, 370, and that's where these guys were, you are a phenomenal baseball player. The barometer they use now is flawed, Mark. Average means something. RBIs means something. These things meant something, and it still does, I think, Mark.
Well, yeah, and Ralph, I don't disagree with you. And we've seen the precipitous drop. The lack of average, the lack of balls in play, the lack of action that you've seen in Major League Baseball. I don't disagree. I think you can take it all into account when you look at it, and you can, when you're grading out players, judging out players, whatever factor your organization wants to look at, whether it be on base, whether it be OPS, whether it be batting average, whether it be RBIs, the three known outcomes. I mean, we've heard it all, but I don't disagree. I mean, I think when you're minimizing the brilliance of guys like Boggs and Tony Gwynn and George Brett and what Mattingly was as a hitter, the ability to make contact and put the ball in play and to hit for high average, I think there should always be a place in Major League Baseball for that. And Boggs was one of the best I've ever seen. Deserved place in Cooperstown. Make sure to check out that podcast with Morosi. So tonight, out in Queens, got a little excitement. And Hoff's going to be on tonight at 2 a.m. on WFAN, breaking it all down as well before he heads back. He's heading back to Eastchester in between, but he's going to be taking in Jonah Tong, making his debut tonight for the New York Mets as they take on the Miami Marlins. And we talked about the Met game last night. Yankee game, didn't really learn all that much. They knocked around the Chicago White Sox, hit some home runs. White Sox are terrible. But Rodon on the mound later on tonight for the Yankees. Jonah Tong making his debut tonight for the New York Mets. And we've seen the brilliance of Nolan McLain for the Mets in his three starts so far. 0.89 ERA. Tong emotional when he met with the media, talking about the fact of when he told his mom, or where you're going to be on Friday night, and said tears were... we were balling for a good hour. He deserves it. He's earned it. He's been brilliant in the minor leagues. But, Pete, let me ask you. You're going to be on tonight, yes, taking everyone through the overnight. What do you think Jonah Tong's pitching line is tonight? Mets, obviously, stepped back last night. Now trail the Phillies by 5 games in the National League East. 4 games up on the Cincinnati Reds for the third and final wild card spot in the National League. The Mets are going to be a playoff team. Just how dangerous, we'll find out together. Tong tonight looking to make an impression. What do you think he does tonight?
I'm not optimistic. I don't think you can pull off what Nolan McLain has done, so you're not going to beat, even though the first outing was 5 1/3, I still think it's going to be less than that. I think you're looking at 4 1/3. I think you're looking at 4 runs, and you're probably looking at maybe 5 Ks, but like 3 walks.
Now, as a veteran, talk show host, you've been working at this station for a while as well. When you look at it, disaster always plays better.
Yes.
There's no doubt. People love to react to negativity. Positivity doesn't always necessarily play. You're doing a show tonight. Are you rooting for Tong to pitch well? You're a big Met fan. Or are you looking for Tong to pitch poorly?
I want him to throw no hitter. I want him to go out and ball out, because that will just add more energy to this team that was kind of looking for an identity a little bit.
I get it. I understand. Yeah. And in answer to the pitching rotation, you've heard a lot about him. He's getting an opportunity. It's not, you know, you've watched a lot of bad starting pitching throughout the course of the year. You're looking for brilliance tonight, but you don't think you're rooting for brilliance. You don't think you're going to get it.
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, McClain's been too good these first three games for Jonah Tong to come in here and hit anything that what McClain's done. And that's not just being like, yo, you know, just I'll be the pessimist, because I just can't imagine the way it's gone for the Mets. He's not going to deliver.
Well, I think he's going to be good tonight. I don't think he's going to be McClain good. I'll go 6 innings, 2 runs allowed. I think he's going to be good. I think the Mets bounce back after a bad performance, and I think the Yankees will embarrass the White Sox yet again.